My name's Mike Dunlap with Homeless We Care. I'm a homeless advocate.
And you're involved in the campaign to help people that are currently camped out in Ontario at the tent city?
That's correct, uh-huh.
And can you tell me a little bit about how this came to be and what's going on?
Back in July, and actually June before that, I was feeding in the area Ontario Valley, and one night I came up my regular feeding, and we give out clothes and different things to people that are on the street, anything that they would need as far as a change of clothes, as far as food, as far as socks, shoes, socks, change pants, jackets, sleeping bags, whatever. But we'd come up, and I was unaware where we were at. But what had happened is they had about 25 to 35 people at the museum in Ontario, which is right adjacent to the train station where the train goes through. And apparently it had been growing, and they were afraid that somebody was going to be drunk and fall in front of a train. So I think it was July 4th or July 5th I came that night to feed, and then there was only three people. And I guess that same day somebody said they were in an article that the police had come on over in the city and asked them to go to move over to this area, which is where they are presently. So what they did, this city, I guess, had a redevelopment area where they had leveled off all the homes, and it was available right next to, adjacent to the airport. So they brought some water out there. They made a small little area, put like wood chips down to try to make it somewhat nice. Gave them a latrine and gave them a trash can, and that's where it started. And then they were in the paper. We started feeding out there. Different churches, organizations came out from being in the paper, just asked what they could do and help. So we all sort of just did it one day at a time, as far as slightly organizing, trying to see if we can make sure that we're still feeding them on a regular basis and stuff like that. At that time, we built a temporary outdoor type shower because it was July and it was hot, and just something where you could turn the water in on, basically a faucet that, you know, you could stand underneath instead of the hose bib that they had out there. And from there it grew. My thinking was that, you know what, the city sort of moved them, and what usually happens is all the other places, they're going to disperse it after it's been there for a little while, since they're out of sight. And since they were in the paper, and they didn't, it doubled in size. Got up to like 50 people right away, and then it got up to around 80 to 100 people within the first month. We had more and more people coming from the outside trying to help, different churches, and so it was getting too big to really do anything as far as the city dispersing it. And then we had a windstorm, a 70-mile-an-hour windstorm, that went through there, destroyed about 50 tents, and that's where I called one of the reporters from Daily Bulletin, and she got us in there and said, please help, we need tents, we need camping equipment. 70-mile-an-hour winds went through the encampment, and they came out and took some pictures and stuff, and from there on it basically grew. And then we had the Boy Scouts, we had the Red Cross, we had a bunch of different people that were donating stuff so that we could get them, try to help them in any way we could. And we also started one gentleman from a large organization donated a shower, which was where you can heat it up on the premises out of a propane tank. And then so we've started bringing out hot showers, and that was one of the things when I was on the streets years ago that you needed for two reasons. One, because once a week you need a real good shower, and the other thing, when it's a warm water, it takes the stress out of your body. And when you live on the streets, there's a lot of stress. And so from there, it just kept going and growing. At about 2 months, we were in contact with the city and whoever would be in charge out there, and started to try to formulate a plan of what would work the best for the people that are out there that would not cost the city a lot of money. We were still hoping that they would turn it into a full-time park type atmosphere. And we didn't get too much response. They weren't really interested. Everything that we ever tried to do out there, in the beginning they would listen, but later down the road they wouldn't even give us an avenue to talk. but everything we had was on a volunteer base. We had enough funding from the people, the churches, and the volunteers to go ahead and come in. We had a lot of people that were going to donate trailers, office trailers, those C boxes, so we could get out there to put all the donations in. Just about anything we needed would have been free, and we could have had a volunteer base to run the whole camp. And we were hoping that we'd be able to set it up as far as treat it like a disaster. And then from that, we'd have everybody, the county, everybody, city, everybody that would come to the site one day a week and then interview the people and start working them out just as they do with Red Cross when they have disasters. And then use it pretty much as a workable plan that we could take across the other cities.
Now, my understanding is that the city this is city-owned property, right?
Yeah, that
and they're
was
allowing the...
Well, that was the biggest problem of all, and we understood that because we looked at both sides of anything when we had our meetings and trying to see how we could work with them. But really it is because of the liability, and so I understand why they couldn't allow us out in the beginning, and they didn't want to, and I guess they took it upon themselves to work out some type of a plan, which sort of, speeds it up a little bit, brings it out to present day. And the reason we got to go back just a little bit, and what it is all the problems that they started to get once the public knew they were there were caused a lot of from the outside people coming in and one even donating because there was such a flood of clothes and food and everything else. What it did is the homeless usually would go out during the day and scavenge and do whatever to survive, and they'd come there at night. Well, what happened from that and everybody coming out giving them, they just stayed there. And then more and more people were dumping stuff off, and they didn't ever have to go do the worst because they just get more clothes donated. And what happened is it turned it into a trash pile. They'd go through the bag and then just leave it because there were no central locations. There was no order to anything. Anybody from the outside was allowed to come in. And then the same thing, it also turned into a lot of drinking and a lot of drug use, which brought the gangs in, which brought the prostitution in. And it was sort of a lack of supervision because they were just, I think they may have just been afraid of coming out there and causing problems because they're homeless. But that doesn't make sense because if the homeless are anywhere else in the city, if something's going on that's not right, the police confront them. But it really turned into a hands-off policy from my point of view and being out there all the time.
From the police.
Yeah, and they'll say, no, it isn't, but I was out there, and it sort of ended up being that way, which allowed the people from the outside now, instead of staying in hotels and partying, they could come out to the encampment and stay 3, 4, 5 days. It didn't cost them anything. They'd get a chance to stay with friends and just party all the time. So if we could have gone in there and controlled it in the beginning, this never would have happened. It would have been clean. It would have been proper. It would have been a place for somebody to come, if they're on the street, where they could come in, have a safe place to sleep. Somebody that'd be able to go out during the day, we would get them somehow one meal a night at least, and or we would give them the information, and it would be possibly a job center there, as far as outside people coming in that have part-time jobs or something. And like I say, it could have been done a lot different, and I'm hoping that anything ever opens up would allow at least the communication of that. What I was thinking also, it'd be a good idea if they had people that used to live on the streets have some type of a council where they would be able to sit down with the city with open communication and say, from our experience, this is what we've learned, and that's what we are trying to bring to them. But it's hard to tell one person the experiences about when you live on the street and how the psychology of homeless are and the mental illness and everything else that they're dealing with it because they've never experienced it. So whatever city or county needs to have some type of a board made up of people that have been on the streets for a period of time that have gone through that process to go ahead and help them.